Major support for Louisiana Eats on WWNO provided by Zatarain's, proud producers of authentic New Orleans-style cuisine. Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889.
From WWNO New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. In March, the International Marine Stewardship Council designated our Louisiana blue crab fishery as the first sustainable crab fishery in the world. This good news caught the attention of many of our nation's chefs, who maintain a strict policy of using only sustainable foods on their restaurant menus. The bad news? Chefs around the country are still waiting for their first shipment of MSC-certified sustainable crab meat. We'll hear from Chef Chris Pope of Zinc Restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico, about his supply issues. And then, Gary Bauer, head of the Crab Task Force, will outline the current situation and his plans to help Chef Chris. All that and more on this week's Louisiana Eats. In March of this year, the Louisiana blue crab fishery was the first in the world to be certified sustainable by the Marine Stewardship Council. Previously on Louisiana Eats, we spoke with LSU Ag Center's Area Coastal Fishery Agent, Rusty Godet, about what this designation could mean for our industry.
The Marine Stewardship Council is a third-party certifier that actually looks at the statements that people make that want to do a verification of their, either the industry or in some cases, certification could be actually on the quality of the product. The process of doing MSC certification is a very long process and in many ways is very costly also. But this was a initiative that was started by the crabbing industry itself. It was mentioned as a good thing for the industry because it would increase the attractiveness of our product, of the Louisiana product, and that there was no other blue crab industry in the world that was certified MSC sustainable. The thought is that this will give us a very strong foothold in the domestic market, but also in the European market, because in the case of one product, as soon as it went MSC certified, within the next 6 months, its volume almost doubled. We should be so fortunate to have that happen to us.
We're curious about how this will play out in the nation's restaurant scene. The Marine Stewardship Council put us in touch with Chef Chris Pope of Zinc Restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Chef, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Thank you, Poppy. Nice to be here.
Please explain to us about the sustainability profile of Zinc Restaurant.
We're really trying to promote locally sourced product here, whether it be regional produce or locally made cheeses, meat, etc. And about a year and a half ago, started up a sustainable seafood program where we're certified by Marine Stewardship Council, and we're trying to kind of turn people onto that and expose, educate the guests.
So what types of things have you been serving that are sustainably certified?
Well, I change my menu, you know, 6 to 8 times a month seasonally, and usually I'll put on something that's fresh and running, such as wild Atlantic salmon. The last menu we had wild Alaskan halibut. Currently we have Alaskan cod on the menu. In the past I've done MSC-certified Chilean sea bass. So I kind of mix it up. I'm trying to do it for different regions, but I'm also trying to keep it fresh, whatever happens to be out there on the market.
Well, I imagine that crab meat in the New Mexican desert is a pretty rare commodity. So how do you feel about the opportunity to cook with this?
I was really excited when I heard about this product, and I think it's something unique. It's something that you don't see out there at other restaurants. So from my perspective, it's a great marketing tool. If we're the only restaurant in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, that's selling this Louisiana blue crab product.
Well, have you been able to source any of the product yet?
I haven't, and it's been kind of discouraging. I was going to use it for a special menu coming up in July, and after putting on the menu, suddenly now I can't get a hold of the product.
Well, do you have any idea what's happened?
I'm being told by my seafood supplier that there was some kind of problem with government regulation and trying to get the labor in there that can actually do the harvesting and do the picking.
We're going to look into this situation down here in Louisiana and see if you can find some answers to this problem. So don't change that menu for that special dinner, would you?
I will try not to. I'm looking forward to it. I really want to try this product. I want to do the right thing.
Well, we'll see what we can do, and we'll get back with you later in the summer if that's all right with you, Chef.
Absolutely. Thank you, Poppy.
Thank you. To learn what the holdup is in the process of the MSC Certified Sustainable Crab Meat rollout, we're turning to Gary Bauer, chairman of the Louisiana Crab Task Force, for answers. So you're actually the person who first got the ball rolling with the MSC certification, huh?
Well, it caught my eye in, I think it was 2004, 2005, that the Marine Stewardship Council was the lead organization that was respected around the world. And when I read what constituted a sustainable fishery, it was such a natural fit because the fishery itself, the traps don't damage the environment. There's very minimal bycatch. And we have rules in place that are well enforced by wildlife and fishery. It's a very well-managed fishery. So there's undersized crabs released automatically with escape rings. You look at the past history of record keeping by wildlife and fisheries, we have about 40-something years of history of recurring sustainable population of crabs.
What do you hope that this certification will do for us?
It's a way of proving to the rest of the world what we already know is that we have, again, a sustainable fishery of very high-quality product. And we like to share what we do in Louisiana with the rest of the United States.
Describe for me a little bit about exactly what your duties are as head of the Louisiana Crab Task Force. What does the Crab Task Force do?
Crab Task Force is a group of individuals. Some of us are fishermen, some of us are processors, some own docks, and some actually shed soft-shell crabs. It's a group of stakeholders for the blue crab industry. Any issue that faces us, whether it's from within or from legislation we agree with or don't agree with, is brought before the task force, and the public's welcome to attend.
I know that sometimes it's difficult to get everybody on the same page. How's that going with the crew here in Louisiana with this certification?
The phrase, trying to herd cats, comes to mind. Everybody's got an independent thought process of what would make the fishery better. You know, what works for some fishermen might not work for other fishermen, and people have different ideas that, you know, it rubs other members of the fishery a different way. Some discussions are quite lively and heated. But
There's actually people who think this isn't a good idea?
Oh, and MSC, yes. There's a few fishermen that believe that it's going to actually hurt the fishery. And I'm trying to understand the logic, but I don't quite follow it yet.
Well, I was so excited when I first heard about this development with our crab fishery, and we had Rusty Godet on the show, and I even wrote a Louisiana Cooking article about the certification. But I was so disappointed when I learned the chefs who are all ready to buy our crab meat can't get any. So what's going on?
Well, originally we blamed it on the run of crabs, started kind of slow this year. But also a major factor is we bring in guest workers from Mexico. And we've been doing this as our 13th year bringing them in. Many of them are returning workers. They've been with me 10, 11, 12 years. And lately with the government, there's been a negative push against these immigrant workers. And it made it quite difficult this year for us to get them in.
So they changed some of the rules. What did the government do, Gary?
They tried to institute 982 pages of rule changes. And we recently had that pushback for a year for the SBA to study how it will affect the various industries that utilize H-2B labor. It's not just seafood. It's the hotel industry, restaurants, even candy businesses utilize H-2B workers.
Would you explain to people who don't know, I'm not really familiar with that, what is an H-2B worker?
It's a classification for a seasonal need where you must prove that your business can't hire American workers. And if you can make that case, then you're allowed to bring in legal people from Mexico. They can stay 10 months at a time, and at the end of the 10-month period, they go home, and then you prepare for them to come back. You apply with the Department of Labor, then it's passed on to USCIS, and eventually you receive certification, and the entire application process is about 4 to 6 months, depending on how many roadblocks you hit.
So this is actually a visa program.
It's a visa program. It's been quite helpful in the first 12 years. This year has been my most difficult.
So that must be why our new chef friend, Chris Pope, in Albuquerque, has met this roadblock there with getting some of our crab meat, huh?
Yeah, like I said, it's been a slow start to the crab season. But in addition, even if we had the crabs, I only have, on any given day, 7 to 9 pickers.
This is actually something that's been in the Senate, right? I believe I read that our Senator Mary Landrieu is trying to help out with this.
The politicians in Louisiana have been very supportive of the seafood industry in Louisiana, and particularly Mary Landrieu and my local Congressman Steve Scalise. They've been very supportive. The seafood industry made a trip to Washington, D.C. about 8 weeks ago to have discussions with various senators and congressmen. They hit 18 offices in 2 days, and it's been quite a fight.
So people are actually crossing party lines to join forces to help us out with this problem. Well, I've got one last question for you. The bottom line, Gary, will Chef Pope in Albuquerque be able to get the crab he needs for that dinner?
If I got to put it in the wheelbarrow and run over there, we're going to get it to him. Anybody that's interested that much in our product, we're going to get it to him.
Gary Bauer of Pontchartrain Blue Crab, chairman of the Louisiana Crab Task Force. From being certified sustainable, Louisiana blue crab meat is some of the sweetest eating to be had. Crab season is at its peak from late spring till early fall, so now's the time to start enjoying our local delicacy. Your first decision is what kind to buy. Lump crab meat is the most expensive and should be reserved for really special presentations. Use those giant lumps of snowy white crab when you're just sautéing the meat or topping it with a little remoulade. The separate lumps are not as defined in the next category, special white crab. So that's the one that's perfect for crab cakes, crab and corn bisque, and crab meat au gratin. The least expensive crab meat comes from the claw. It has the strongest, sweetest, most distinct crab flavor and is just what you want in stuffings and for finishing a gumbo. Speaking of gumbo, when selecting your gumbo crabs, look for the females. They're a little fatter, a little fuller, and often contain that flavorful, bright orange roe. To tell the girls from the boys, most people flip them over to look for the all-white underside of the male or the distinctive gray apron of the females, but that's not the only way to tell them apart. Before they're cooked, the male claws are a brilliant blue-green right to the tip. The female's claws are a bright reddish-orange, so she looks like she's been painting her fingernails. For some of our favorite crab recipes, visit the Louisiana Eats website at wwno.org. I'm Poppy Tooker, and blue crabs are one of my favorite Louisiana Eats. Time for our Louisiana Eats Culinary Quiz Question of the Week, brought to you with support from French Market Coffee. The correct answer to last week's question, what is the name of the company who installed the revolutionary growing system used on the rooftop garden at Rouse's, is AMPS, which stands for Aquaponic Modular Production Systems. Now let's see who this week's lucky winner is. Thomas Walsh, our Louisiana Eats producer, is manning the grinder.
Many of you picked up on that the answers to our questions are usually buried within an interview that already aired on our program. We try to make them fairly accessible, but sometimes it helps to dig through our website if you just can't recall the details. Or maybe you could just luck out and have a personal connection with the subject of our quiz, like this week's winner did. Congratulations to Amanda Love of New Orleans. You've won this week's prize. Send us in your response for a chance to win.
Our lucky winner will be receiving 3 full-size bags of French Market coffee, including dark roast with chicory, and French roast. This week's question is, what is the name of the Eat Local group whose annual 200-mile food challenge will end on June 30th? All correct answers received will be mixed together in our French Market coffee grinder, and one lucky winner will be chosen at random and announced on next week's show. Again, this week's question is, what is the name of the Eat Local group whose annual 200-mile food challenge will end on June 30th. Email those answers by midnight Sunday night to LouisianaEats at WWNO.org with culinary quiz in the subject line, and you could be next week's lucky winner. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. Jeannie Fonseca lives right on the banks of Bayou des Almonds. Her offerings at Baton Rouge's Red Stick Market, the German Coast Market, and the Crescent City Farmers Market are a bit unusual. Wild catfish fillets, alligator and turtle meat, and sometimes live soft-shell crabs. Jeannie, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Thank you, Poppy. Good to hear from you.
What is a soft-shell crab, and how do you all catch them when they're soft?
Well, a soft-shell crab is a crab that has molted because it wants to grow larger. And we don't catch them soft. That's the trick. The fishermen can identify the crab in the crab trap by certain signs. And one of the signs on the male and female are the swimmer fin of the crab. You can look and you can see an outline of either white, pink, or red. And those signs will tell you how far away the crab is from shedding.
Tell me the process that you have to go through once you get those crabs from that point until you bring them to market. What happens then?
Okay, so they will bring me the crabs, and I will once again grade these crabs by the color of the lining along that edge that we talked about.
Yes.
And depending on how many crabs they bring in and the availability of your space in your tanks, well, you won't normally keep the white lines. You'll normally keep the pink or the red. The red are known as the hot crabs because they will shed within a couple of days. That way you can turn them over faster, get more of a turnover of crabs going, whereas the pink lines you will keep for about a week in the system before they shed, and the white lines about 2 weeks. So once the crab starts to shed, it cracks right on the back. The back opens up, and the crab slowly wiggles out. Depending on the water temperature, if it's really warm, it's a faster process. If the water's cold, it's a slower process. And it really takes a lot of energy for these crabs to back out of their shells, especially the larger ones, because they've done it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're out of their shells, it's beautiful to see. It's just like being born again, like a new birth. And once they wiggle out, they're in a very weak stage. You want to let them sit maybe about an hour and just let them kind of get a little firmer. And when you see those peaks straightening out, then you remove them from the tank, and we will place them in trays and then refrigerate them and just keep like a moist paper towels or towels on top just to keep them moist and fresh.
So, Jeannie, do they shed their shells at a particular time of day?
Oh, no. That would be great. pretty much it's a 24-hour babysitting or crab-sitting job, where most of the day I'm watching the tanks, guarding the tanks, and then during the night I'll get up, I guess every 3 hours, especially when your tanks are full. You don't want to lose out or miss any crabs, so you make it a point to get up, because if you don't, well, that's a buck you're going to lose.
Well, Jeannie, sounds to me like this is like having a newborn baby who never grows up.
That, you said it. That's about what it is.
Thank you so much for sharing crab knowledge with us. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. Call back anytime.
Jeannie Fonseca and her Bayou des Almonds soft shell crabs. I can't stand for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Next week, Justin Pitts and his Piney Woods cattle.
Piney Woods cattle are classed as critical with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, which means their numbers are less than 2,000. They were the predominant breed from the edge of South Carolina all the way into East Texas in times past, but due to modern farming practices, they have all but disappeared.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at wwno.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee, Popeyes, and Zatarain's. Additional support provided by Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse, Palace Cafe, and the Bourbon House, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cookin' Magazine. Thanks to Thomas Walsh, our associate producer and sound engineer. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.